unsatisfied. We keep looking back. Regret and what if. We have air-conditioned homes, more than enough stuff and hobbies, but still there are ambitions unfulfilled. There is something out there that I just have not acquired yet, and it will make it all feel better.
That's the Reverend Dr. Doc Hollingsworth, and today he brings you a powerful message entitled, The War of the Cravings. I'm Peter Wallace, and this is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're honored to welcome the Reverend Dr. Doc Hollingsworth, senior pastor of Second Ponce de Leon Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Before accepting the call at Second Ponce 5 years ago, Doc had an 18-year career with Mercer University, most recently serving at Mercer's McAfee School of Theology as assistant dean and assistant professor of leadership. Doc earned his undergraduate and doctoral degrees from Mercer University and received his Master of Divinity degree from the Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary in Wake Forest, North Carolina. Earlier, Doc served churches in North Carolina and Georgia. Doc, welcome to Day One.
Thank you. Great to be back.
You're hitting the five-year mark as senior pastor of Second Ponce de Leon Baptist Church in the Buckhead area of Atlanta. In the time since you were last with us a year and a half ago, the church has been involved in launching a couple of new initiatives that I want to ask you about. First is a new ministry called Respite Care Atlanta. Tell us what that will involve.
Sure. This is actually not a ministry of Second Ponce de Leon Baptist Church, but a cooperative of several congregations along the Peachtree Road corridor. A family in Atlanta looked for a respite care facility and couldn't find one in the city. They asked our friend George Worth to help, and he couldn't find a facility. So in George's usual leadership, he got a group together to begin one. Several Atlanta congregations, Peachtree Presbyterian Church, Peachtree Road United Methodist, the Temple here on Peachtree, several of the congregations have come together to provide leadership, and we've just hired a director of that program. It will start this fall, and it will be housed here at Second Ponce.
And what will be happening there?
It's kind of a daycare program where folks with early stages of Alzheimer's can come for activities and lunch. There'll be some support networks for the caregivers, some stimulus during the middle of the day, half-day programs mostly, and then we'll see how that expands.
It's a wonderful effort and much needed. And another project that Second Ponce is engaged in is a wide-ranging study of space. And I don't mean outer space, but how you're using or not using your facilities. And Second Ponce does have a lot of wonderful facilities, as we know, as our headquarters are here. But what do you hope happens as a result of this study?
Our location in the city and our facilities are among our greatest assets. We could not have a better address. We couldn't have better facilities. But we have more facility than we need. And so we're looking for ways to be better stewards of this address and these wonderful rooms. And so we're looking for other partners like Day One. How can we find other ministry partners who we can offer a below market rate for space and help their ministry? But also that revenue helps our ministry. And that kind of win-win at a place like this in the middle of Buckhead is something we need to be exploring more of. So we had a study commissioned to find out what parts of our building are underused or not used so we can make good decisions going forward.
Earlier this year, to mark the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the church offered a four-week series called Use Me, God, to look at the intersection of race and faith with some wonderful speakers. Tell us why you did that and how it was received.
It was a small project that got out of hand. We we realized that that the actual anniversary was on a Wednesday when we have Wednesday night services. So we just said, let's give attention that Wednesday night to the program. We started looking at speakers for that and then found that they were available at other times, and it grew into a four-part series. David Hull, on staff with us, did a wonderful Bible study on race to start it. Then we had Taylor Branch, the Pulitzer Prize-winning historian who grew up at Second Ponce. He came back and preached for us. And then I had an hour-long interview with Ambassador Andrew Young, which was just wonderful. We talked about the role of race and faith. And then we concluded that series with Natasha Reed Rice, the associate pastor at the historic Ebenezer Baptist Church. It was received really well by our congregation. And the highlight of that for us was the Ambassador Young interview, because we talked about the role of faith and church in the civil rights movement, and he was mesmerizing.
And videos of that presentation and the others are available on your church website at spdl.org.
Yes.
Well, Doc, today your sermon focuses on the reading from James for this Sunday. Would you read the passage for us?
Sure. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive, because you ask wrongly, in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded.
Some very tough language from James there, and we look forward to learning more about all this in your sermon, The War of the Cravings. Doc, thanks for sharing it with us.
Great to be back. Thanks. My friend Anne declares that there are two different kinds of house guests. Anne divides them in two groups. Change the sheets or don't change the sheets, house guests are her categories. With a parade of children and grandchildren, one group is not guests so much as they are staying over. Then there are the house guests where you hope to make the right impression. Your daughter's new in-laws, a work colleague from out of town. For those, you not only change the sheets, but you straighten the pillow shams, turn on the lamps, set out some finger foods on the coffee table, soft instrumental music in the background. Then there are the guests who are not family, but they might as well be. They are childhood friends, college buddies, the girls. These are the friends you don't set out a cheese ball and crackers for. You just tell them if they're hungry, they should get up and fix something. Then at night, way past late, these are the friends you sit with on the sofa. Pull your knees up to your chin, and the conversation turns to things that happened 10, 15, 20 years ago. Then the conversation turns to hopes for 10, 15, 20 years from now. We share what we accomplished and what we hope to accomplish. We share how it did not turn out like we thought or hoped. Ambitions unfulfilled, regrets. The things I wanted, the things I still want, it does not go away. It's like an unsatisfied craving. We think, there is something out there that I still have not acquired that will make all this feel better. Unsatisfied. We keep looking back. Regret and what if? A little more and I would be fine. We have air-conditioned homes, more than enough stuff and hobbies, but still there are ambitions unfulfilled. It does not go away. It is like an unsatisfied craving. There is something out there that I just have not acquired yet, and it will make it all feel better. My reading habits are rather random. Pastors don't always read commentaries and Eudora Welty. Recently, I spent a little time with Jimmy Buffett's memoir, A Pirate Looks at 50. The first chapter is titled My Life in 400 Words or Less. I'm going to read about 100 words of it, but listen to all of the unsatisfied cravings. I sang and worked on a fishing boat, went totally crazy, did a lot of dope, met the right girl, made another record, had a hit, bought a boat, and sailed away to the Caribbean. I started another band, worked on the road, had my second and last hit, bought a house in Aspen, started spending summers in New England, got married, broke my leg 3 times in 1 year, had a baby girl, made more records, bought a bigger boat, and sailed away to St. Bart's. I got separated from the right girl, sold the boat, sold the house in Aspen, moved back to Key West, worked the road, and made more records. Do you see another band, another house, a bigger boat? It does not go away. There is something out there that I still have not acquired that will make all this feel better. This is our reality, and while it is our reality, it's hard for me to think of this being part of the first century world. When I read today's text, I imagine the early Christians wearing togas and sandals and walking and sharing ideas about the current philosophy and talking about the day's catch of fish. It's hard to think of these first century Christians as being greedy and lustful and ambitious as we are. But what continues to be true is how much we are all alike. Our differences are differences of degree and not differences of kind. Their struggles are ours. Our struggles are each other's. So the Bible continues to transform across the generations, because it continues to shine its light on the human condition. The first century hopes and frailties are the same as ours. The first century woman probably wanted a more appreciative husband and a house closer to town and not as long a walk to the well each day. The first century man probably wanted Jesse's girl, someone more dazzling than the one he was betrothed to, and a boat that was as big as the one his friend just got. When I was in Turkey a few years back, I visited the ancient city of Ephesus. The city rose up from the sea uphill. At the top of the city was a water source that, by virtue of gravity, provided running water into the homes and shops below. Pretty clever. One main street, cobblestone, ran through the city. Library at the bottom. On our tour from top to bottom, we stopped about halfway down the hill and looked at the remains of a private home. Someone had a home right on Main Street, and there was remnant of the entryway. a mosaic. Little yellow tiles that created a pattern made up the spectacular entry to this home on Main Street. I imagine others lusted for his fancy home right in the middle of town. Our sins and their sins are the same, and this gnawing, craving, competitive, can't-get-enough selfishness was killing their church. The writer of James is addressing the common, everyday sins that might look harmless enough, but are the true thieves of human happiness and congregational unity. Unredeemed anger, partiality, the pursuit of unsatisfied cravings. These conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder, and you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Your cravings are at war within you. The answer to your anguish, the satisfaction for your cravings, the author of James tells them simply, submit yourselves to God. Well, thanks. Doesn't this sound like silly bumper sticker theology? But it is not. This is the deep and profound truth of the gospel of Christ. The only way to end the war of the cravings is deeper submission to the love and acceptance of God. My dear mentor, John Claypool, used to say that he grew up feeling a profound sense of nobodiness. He said that his parents meant to encourage and inspire, but the phrase he heard over and over as a young child was, if you're ever going to amount to anything, you are going to have to make something of yourself. He fell into and succeeded in the game of competition, trying to satisfy the cravings. He became teacher's pet, and then there was another war to win. He became a school patrol, and then there was another war to win. Next was athletics. People became objects. They either contributed to his success or hampered it. There is something out there that I still have not acquired that will make this feel all better. He said that he lived that way until he was 35. What happened at age 35 that changed things for him is that he fell in with a peer group of area ministers who grew to risk being vulnerable with each other. One day, he let down his mask and told the group how desperate he had been living, how he had continued to strive for worth. He confessed how wrung out he had become by always competing, always proving. Then the word of grace came to him from the man in the group with whom he felt the least affinity. The man said, what we need is to feel the truth of the gospel down in our guts. When Jesus says on the Sermon on the Mount, you are the light of the world, he just declared, you are. It is your birthright. There is nothing to achieve. By birthright, we are persons of great worth. Our worth is not something out there to be acquired, but something in here to be claimed. Claypool said it was as if he saw clearly for the first time. From that life-changing moment, he said that his agenda shifted from attainment to awareness. He realized that for him to live fully, he was going to have to win the war of the cravings. He could not attain enough to feel worth and significance. It is a silly and elusive game. Worth does not come from attaining what you do not have, but instead comes from the happy awareness of what you already possess. So when the author of James says, submit yourselves to God, he is not giving a trite Sunday school answer. He knew that those first century Christians were living into the same lie that we have fallen for. There is something out there that I have still not acquired that will make this feel all better. He is telling the early church that the only way to win the war of the cravings is to submit yourself to God's already love of you, to open your eyes to the truth that you are already beloved. You are a person of worth by birthright, not by attaining. Amen.
The Reverend Dr. Doc Hollingsworth was our preacher today. Doc is the senior pastor of Second Ponce de Leon Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. For a free transcript of his message entitled, The War of the Cravings, call us toll-free at 1-888-411-DAY1. That's 888-411-3291. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. Please keep in mind that Day 1 depends on the financial offerings of our faithful listeners. We're grateful for your support. I'm Sherry Miller. Next week, we're pleased to welcome the Reverend Talitha Arnold, Senior Minister of the United Church of Santa Fe, New Mexico. Her sermon is entitled, Longing for Cucumbers. Be sure to tune in for her challenging message next time on Day 1. This is Sherry Miller, and I'm excited to tell you about the new Sunday School and Small Group resource from Day 1, Faith and Science in the 21st Century, and it's available now from Church Publishing Incorporated. The Faith and Science in the 21st Century book and accompanying video and audio excerpts bring you 8 renowned Christian leaders from across the denominational spectrum on vital topics of science today. Congregations, small groups, schools, and campus ministries can use this resource as an 8 or 16 session series to explore these fascinating and important topics from a trustworthy faith perspective. For more information, visit dayone.org/faithandscience. That's dayone.org/faithandscience. Or you can order it wherever you purchase church resources. Doc Hollingsworth offers some final reflections on his sermon today with our host, Peter Wallace.
Doc, you told us that if we give ourselves an opportunity to really contemplate our lives, perhaps in a conversation with our old friends, we may realize that deep within us is the assumption that there is something out there that I still have not acquired that will make this all feel better. And that's a powerful and harmful assumption because it can lead to a chaotic and frustrating life, as you point out. I'm thinking, though, that many of us never take that time to really consider what drives us and make that realization. We don't have those opportunities to talk deep with old friends. So how do we do that?
Well, I'm convinced this is not just a Buckhead malady. I run into people all the time who are operating out of their cravings mm-hmm. and not out of a sense of being loved. And I did start with this image of old friends mm-hmm. because I think in the retreat of childhood friends, we get a sense of being loved in ways we don't experience that in the competitive work world.
Mm. And you showed us that first century Christians were just as greedy and lustful and ambitious as we can be, that we're very much alike, and our differences are those of degree, not differences of kind. The writer of James addresses the common everyday sins that might look harmless enough, but are the true thieves of human happiness and congregational unity. As you put it, your cravings are at war within you. Would you say more about how that war of the cravings affects our lives?
Well, first, to what you said in opening, I have an idea that our image of the first century Christians mm-hmm. is a little sanitized.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fun to explore in my imagination what it would have been like for them to have been as craving and as lustful
yes.
as we are. And the war of cravings affects us by keeping us competitive in ways that we miss the blessing around us
mm-hmm.
and keeps us trying to attain something else to make us feel better about ourselves. In the faith, when we can recognize and believe that we are beloved, it's the one thing that can put at bay that craving of dissatisfaction.
Mm-hmm. And James encourages them and us to submit ourselves to God, which can sound like a platitude, but it goes much deeper than that. As your mentor John Claypool showed us, our worth is not something out there to be acquired, but something within us to be claimed. So how do we claim that?
First, it reminds me of another great saying of his. He used to say, all success is cotton candy.
Mm.
It's sweet to the taste, but it doesn't satisfy the hunger. And it is, I believe, in recognition of relationship that, and our own sense of being loved, that we find that that hunger is abated and we can live into the fullness of what it means to be a child of God.
Doc, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will keep in mind in the days ahead?
I hope it will allow for a check of the ways that we continue to be ambitious, craving, lustful of something that will not satisfy, and help us trust again in the eternal relationship where we find our rest and our wholeness.
Doc Hollingsworth, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for listening. I'm Sherry Miller wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever.